Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to move forward in our teaching on divine guidance and direction. I want us to, in the time that we have today, to make a couple of leaps forward. Amen. I really want us to turn the corner a little bit and start to look at some very practical things where receiving divine guidance and direction are concerned. Amen.
Amen.
So I want you to go back with me to the 27th Psalm. The 27th Psalm. And this time I actually want to read the entire psalm. I haven't done that since we started this. I just feel like doing that today. And then I want to make a couple of comments in a couple of verses that I left off last week in reading the story of Balaam. I really don't want to dwell there. I just want to make a couple of comments there and read a couple of verses there. And then I want us to, I really want to give the bulk of my time. I trust God to help me with that today. Right after I finished ministering last Sunday, I came into the office and I received one of the magazines that had come in the mail as the current edition of the Word of Faith. I know I was flipping through the pages and I saw usually they have this timeless teachings by the late Kenneth E. Hagin. And right there, they have an article, How to Hear from Heaven. I just started reading through it, but it just blessed me so much because exactly in line with a lot of what I'm seeking. I know that the Lord is seeking to get to us in this season. So that was really good. I know I was in my excitement. I went out and some of our ministers were still there. I was telling them, I want you guys to hear this. And I read some of this stuff to them. But I'm actually going to give some of my time to this, a lot of my time to this, however much time I have, once I get through my preambles. And this helps us get into some of the practical areas and aspects of getting and receiving divine guidance and divine direction from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Even though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Even though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In what? The Lord is my light. Amen. It's my salvation. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I love it. I love it. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire. Somebody say inquire. Somebody say inquire.
Inquire.
The Lord is your light and your salvation. You would have to put a huge price on inquiring. Inquiring. To inquire means to be there before him. It means to hang out with him. It means to fellowship with him. It means to seek him. It means to look for him. It means to find out from him. It means to discover from him the things that he has in his mind. The Lord is my light and my salvation, but all the days of my life, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Somebody say the word again, inquire.
Inquire.
Somebody say the word inquire.
Inquire.
Amen. He said in verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. When you inquire, he hides you. When you inquire, he hides you. Even in the time of trouble, he hides you. He sees to it that you are secure, you are protected, you are kept. When you inquire, amen. He says in verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, when you seek the Lord, one of the things that we must do in order to have a heart that is clear enough to receive direction from him is praise and worship. It's practicing the presence of God. The Bible says in Isaiah, so when you come, you should come with a song. Amen. No matter how burdened we are, when we come seeking the Lord, lay that burden down. Understand that the Lord's got that. And when you come before him, you come with thanksgiving first. You come with praise and worship first. Don't let the first thing you bring be your burden. Yeah, we know you have that burden, but lay it down and you worship the Lord and you praise the Lord for his goodness. I mean, one of the great blessings in our lives right now is we're alive, right? And because we're alive, it means we have a future. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Somebody say, your face, Lord, will I seek. Say it again. Say, your face, Lord, will I seek. I want you to see that none of these things are disconnected. The Lord is my light and my salvation and all that. He would give me the upper hand. He will hide me in a time of trouble. All of this is connected with seeking the Lord. All of this is connected with inquiring of the Lord. None of these things are in isolation. None of them are separate from one another. Amen. So when you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. Say those words with me again. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Say it again with me. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Notice he didn't say, your hands, Lord, will I seek. He said, your face, Lord, your face, Lord. His face is his countenance. His face is his presence. Your face, Lord, will I seek. And it's very important that we learn how to seek his face before seeking what is in his hands. Many times we don't get what is in his hands for us because we are not willing to seek his face. The psalmist said, your face will I seek. Your face will I seek. So don't always come seeking what is in his hands. Don't always come with your many formulas and your different, you know, if I say it 10 times and I say I do it 100 times and then, no, come seeking his face first. Then maybe, and then take on the formula. If that's part of what the Holy Spirit gives you, take on the form, but don't come seeking what is in his hand. Come seeking his face. Somebody say those words with me. Your face will I seek.
Your face will I seek.
Say one more time. Your face will I seek.
Your face will I seek.
Verse 9. Hide not your face far from me. Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away. Several years ago, I don't know how many of you know the guy, Maurice Chapman, I think he was. I think he passed. He went to heaven a few weeks ago, I think, actually. It's one of the sweetest voices that I've ever heard, a male voice. One of the sweetest. You Google him and you listen to some of his singing. It's one of the best. How many people know Maurice Chapman here? Maurice Chapman, he just recently went to heaven. He's one of the songs I remember he used to sing way back then. Don't hide your face from me. Don't hide your face from me. When you seek him, when you seek his face, you don't want him to hide his face. He said, hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It means even when you don't have natural help, the Lord will come through for you. Even when people that should be help for you are not there. Even when the people that should secure your help and secure your future and secure your advantage are not there, the law will orchestrate things around you to secure that advantage for you in life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Teach me, verse 11, teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Teach me your way. Because when you walk in his way, then he's your light and he can be your salvation. Teach me your way. I want you to see how this is so interwoven. I know we've talked, is the Lord is my light and my salvation. And often we'll quote many of the promises in the word of God. But I want you to see how limited God can be sometimes in delivering to us the things that he wants to give to us when we are not playing our part. When we are not there seeking his face and we're not there prioritizing what he wants. When we are not there looking for his direction. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. Verse 12. For false witnesses are risen up against me and such as breathe cruelty. I love verse 13. I'm sure all of you know this scripture. I had fainted. Unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Would you say that with me? I had fainted. Unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want you to say that with me wherever you are joining this service today. I had fainted. Unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, I don't know about you, but I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's no fainting for me. There's no quitting for me. There's no running away for me. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So then he says, he ends up this psalm by saying, wait on the Lord. By the way, this is the psalm of David, so the man knows what he's talking about. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody say, wait on the Lord. Come on, wait on the Lord now.
Wait
on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Train yourself to wait. Train yourself to wait. Waiting can be one of the most difficult things to do. Train yourself to wait. Someone say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Come on, say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. See, when he said, I had fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, one of the keys to receiving the grace to have faith, when he said, I believe I will see the goodness, that's faith in God. That's trust in God. In the land of the living, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I fully expect to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's faith. That's the voice of faith. That's faith talking. That's not denying the problems. That's not denying the pandemic. That's not denying the reality of our situation in the world. But that's faith. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 13, we having the spirit of faith, we have believed, therefore we speak. When you have the spirit of faith, you believe and you speak. When you have the spirit of faith, you believe and you speak. So we believe, I believe, and I believe for you that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But please, train yourself. Put yourself in the place where you can receive the discipline to wait. Waiting is one of the most challenging things for human beings. Because we're constantly wanting to do. Many of us are human doings, not human beings. We're constantly wanting to do. And we constantly feel like if we are not doing, we're not moving. If we're not doing, we're not moving. Naturally, many times, You are moving if you are waiting on the Lord. Now, I understand this has also been, you know, an extreme for a lot of people sometimes. You know, there's stuff that they're supposed to do. It's very obvious. The Lord has already said what we need to do, but they say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Bro, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Sis, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. But no, actually, the Lord is waiting on you. Right. The Lord already told you what you needed to do. He already said, take this step. It's like when Jesus said to Peter, put that net in the water. He said, Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord. He already told you. Put the net in the water. So it's very important to have a balance in this understanding here. But most of us just have a challenge waiting on the Lord. And the Bible says in Isaiah 40, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run, they will not be weary. They will walk, they will not faint. Hallelujah. They that wait on the Lord. It's so powerful to train ourselves to wait on the Lord. The time to wait on the Lord is when we don't have the knowledge we need. The time to wait on the Lord is when we don't have the clarity we need. The time to wait on the Lord is when we are not sure of the timing that is involved. Then wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And the Bible says when you wait on the Lord, you will receive the impartation you need to walk in faith. And you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can I speak to someone, whether in this studio or across over on the other end of this camera? You will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Contrary to the lies of the devil, you will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Contrary to what the circumstances look like, you will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Contrary to how things seem to be unfolding, you will see the goodness of the Lord. I say you will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Read with me a couple of verses that I want to say something about Balaam before I go to Brother Higgins' magazine here, my Brother Higgins' teaching here. So go back to Numbers 22. I've got to show you this. This is really important. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Ooh, glory. I'm very excited about beginning to turn that corner and get into some of the more practical things. That the Lord will have us delve into in the area of divine guidance and divine direction. Now, I just want to preface reading the last three verses here that I have in mind to read by two things I said last week in the service. And talking about Balaam, I said, in seeking God's divine guidance and direction, number one, always come with an open mind. Shut down every personal agenda. Be willing to do whatever God says. Did you hear that last week?
Yeah.
Good. And then number two, I said, get rid of every pressure. Get rid of every pressure. God is never in the pressures. God is in peace. Did you hear that last week? Amen. Very good. So now I have a whole lot that I can revise, but I don't want to do that. Really, I don't have the liberty to do that. My time is running. I want to do some new things today. So I want us to read like three or four last verses here in Numbers 22. Let's read from where the Bible says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Now, after all this drama, finally, Balaam's eyes became open. It's always a blessing when your eyes get open. Amen. I think that's verse 31. That's verse 31. Now, it's a blessing that our eyes are open earlier on in the process. Amen. That's a blessing. But even if they are not, it's a blessing that our eyes are open at some point. Amen. That we know what the Lord will have us do. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Verse 31. It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and Balaam saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And the angel saw drawn in his hand, and Balaam bowed down his head and he fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him in verse 32, why have you smitten your ass, your donkey, these three times? Why have you beat that donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you, because your way is perverse before me. Verse 33, and the donkey saw me, and he turned from me these three times, and unless this donkey had turned from me, I want you to notice this now, unless this donkey had turned from me, surely now also I would have killed you. Surely now also I would have killed you, although I would have saved her alive. I would have killed you, but I would have saved her alive. Verse 33. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, he said, if it displease you, I will get you back. I will get me back again. Now, I just want to mention two things I want to say about Balaam here. I want you to understand, most believers are really not in the position where Balaam was. This is very important. I want you to hear me very clearly here. Most believers are really not in the position where Balaam was. Most believers are sincerely seeking God. Most believers, they want God's direction. They want God's way. They want to find out, Lord, what, how, when, you know, all of that. Most believers are sincerely seeking. Now, what makes Balaam's situation very interesting is Balaam already knew he was doing something out of line with God's will. He knew it. Most believers are not this way. I want to make that point to you. Most believers are seeking. I hope you are seeking. I hope when you come before the Lord and you are seeking whether should I go forward in this direction? Should I do this business? Should I apply for this? Should I do this job? Should I get in this relationship? Should I invest this? Should I hope when you come, these two things, you are coming with an open heart seeking the Lord. Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. And no pressures for me. There's no pressure. Lord, anything you say, that's what I'm going to do. But Balaam was not there. And the reason I want to say something about this, I want you to see how dangerous. It is very dangerous to willfully resist God even when we know in our heart what God is saying. It is very dangerous. Most of us many times don't know. We are seeking the Lord. But every now and then, you will find someone who says, you know, yeah, I think I know what the Lord wants. After time of prayer, after time of seeking, after time of counsel, after time of this and that. Say, I think I know what the Lord wants, but this is what I'm still going to do. And in their heart, it's not like they are really seeking if this is God's way. No, in their heart, they actually already know this is not what the Lord wants me to do, but they are committed to doing it anyway. And that is very dangerous. And I just want to stress something that is very important here in the story of Balaam. Just as I wrap up, because I don't want to talk about Balaam forever, this is my last thing about him. God isn't going around killing his people. God isn't going around killing his people. But it is possible to get in harm's way when we willfully resist God. This is very important. I got to say that one more time. God isn't going around killing his people or sending his angel with swords to go and kill all his people. No, he's not doing that. But it is dangerous, and we can get in harm's way if we resist what we know the Lord has already witnessed in our heart is what he wants us to do. There are heavy prices to pay. There are great prices to pay. Now, there's a scripture I want you to look at here in Hebrews 1:3, I'm just going to allude to it real quickly. And I want to explain something in the light of the New Testament to you. Why is it dangerous? How can someone get in harm's way when they willfully resist the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says God upholds all things by the word of his power. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Your life is being upheld by God. I know we've done some teaching on the ministry of preservation that the good shepherd provides for the sheep, right? The Lord preserves the life of his sheep. The Lord preserves the lives of his people. The Lord protects us. He keeps us. And the way he does it is he upholds our lives by the word of his power. Look at that scripture again in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Just let's read it real quickly. This is just something I want to allude to because I'm watching my clock. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word. Why don't I start from verse 1? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke. Somebody say he spoke. He spoke. Somebody say he spoke.
He spoke.
In time past unto the fathers by his prophets, has in these last days spoken. Somebody say he has spoken.
He has spoken.
Somebody say he has spoken.
He has spoken
unto us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the walls. We've already established this. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. The word of God is the light of the believer. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is what gives access to the world to find light. The whole world is in darkness. But when you come to Christ, you have light. You get light. Hallelujah. But the word of God, which is also the Lord, it's also Jesus, the Son of God. In the beginning was the word was God in the beginning. The word of God is the light of the believer. When the Lord wants to give us light, how does he do it? He speaks his word. He speaks his word. And like I said, we're going to turn the corner now and start looking at some of the practical details. But I want you to see the primary way in which the Lord speaks is in his word. Not in what we think we hear, not in what we think we know, not even in what the preacher is saying, but in his word. In his word. The word of God always confirms the voice of the Spirit. Yeah. The two of them are always in agreement. Yeah. They never, ever contradict one another. The word of God is light. Amen. Now, notice in the time past, he spoke by the prophets. Now he speaks how? By his son. How does he speak by his son? Through his word. I just want to establish this. I want to establish this truth. Because many believers, you'll be amazed. As simple as this sounds, many believers don't know. God speaks through the son by his word. That means anytime you find anything in the word, the Lord speaketh. The Lord speaketh. Don't say, no, I'm waiting until a prophet says, uh-uh. The word, the light. What does Psalm 119 verse 130 say? The entrance of his word does what? Brings light and does what? Gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of his word. 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 His word is light. Anytime you hear anything in the word, don't fight it. Don't fight the word. Don't fight the word based on your culture. Don't fight the word based on your family. Don't fight the word based on your marriage. Don't fight the word based on your school. Don't fight the word based on your profession. Don't fight the word based on anything. When you hear the word say that, that's light. Some of the wonders why I'm really emphasizing this. I'm emphasizing this because God speaks to his people primarily a lot of times through the word. God will speak to you through the word first before he will send you a special message by the Holy Spirit in your heart. He will speak to the word through the word first. Amen. Amen. He will speak through the word first. Amen. Many of the answers a lot of people are looking for, those answers are already in the word. Amen. They are looking here. They say, now I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. But if the Lord already spoke in the word, the Holy Spirit is only going to bring a confirmation, like what I'm ministering to you today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for time. What I'm ministering to you today came directly from the study of the word. And then the Holy Spirit confirmed it. And then he sent external things to come. I can't tell you how many things and how many times the Lord has said to me, I'm confirming to you what I told you to minister. You are ministering. That's what I want you to speak to my people. And one of the most recent ones, like I told you last Sunday, is that. If Kenneth E. Hagin, you know, one of his timeless teachings, and this is the August edition, and he's talking about getting divine guidance and direction. That's really what that article is about. And but it's a little bit more in-depth, and I'm going to start reading it in a few minutes here. The Lord is already speaking to us. Why is it sometimes that we're like when we were unsaved, when we need a medium, we need some thunder and lightning somewhere to strike for us to know that the Lord is speaking to us. That's not who we are anymore. The Lord speaks through his word. Anytime you see anything in the word, that's the Lord talking to you. Amen. Now, at a higher level, at a level of greater precision, the Lord will now witness clarity into your spirit. He will show you clearer details, which the word directly may not show you, may not say specifically, but the Holy Spirit will bring clearer details, more precision. Amen. But first, the foundation is from the word. So if you are doing anything that is contrary to the word, you are resisting God. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. If, for instance, the word of God says, love. Love your neighbor. Don't say, well, you know, I've prayed about it, but in my spirit, I just don't have that witness that I should love her. The word said it. That I don't have the witness I should forgive her. Or forgive him. No, but the word is the witness you need. He told you, forgive him. You say, no, I want a deeper witness from the Holy Spirit. Now, you are getting into dangerous territory. Yes. This is so important. I wish I could just open my heart and surgically remove this part of it and transmit it to you. Amen. It's clear from the word. He's not speaking through the prophets primary. He speaks through the ministry of the prophet, but that's not the primary. The primary is his word, through Jesus, through the word. Amen. So then he says in verse 3, well, no, in verse 2 he says, as he has spoken to us in these last days by his son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself poured out, since he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want you to know the way he does it. When you walk according to his word, he upholds all things in your life by the word of his power. That's what he does. As you walk in the word, when you walk in the word, you are walking in the light. Amen. The Bible says when they walk in the light, they are not in darkness. Because in God, there is no darkness. Now, As you walk in the word, he upholds everything in your life by the word of his power. That same word you are walking in, he upholds everything in your life by the word of his power. Your health is preserved by the word of his power. Your business is preserved by the word of his power. Your marriage, your ministry, your finances, your children, everything is upheld by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. I want to ask you a question. If the Lord withdraws the word of his power in your life, are you upheld? No, you are not. No, you are not. Now, so that is the dangerous territory that I think just a small section, a small percentage of believers sometimes can get into. Sometimes out of stubbornness, sometimes out of disobedience, self-will, sometimes, and you know, this sometimes comes a lot of times, not to people who are just starting to learn the things of God. It happens a lot more to people who have been working with God for a while. Like Balaam. He wasn't a prophet just cutting his teeth. He wasn't wet behind the ears. He wasn't new. He had been working with the Lord. He knew some things. And, you know, like I told you, you just need to go check, you know, the other things said about Balaam. I mean, Balaam ended really bad. He ended really bad. And like I said to you, it started at an angle. He went off a little bit. Pressure. And before you know it, that pressure can make you go opposite from where God is going. It starts at a tangent. Pressure. See, it started like this. Pressure. It was a 5 degree off. Right? 5 degree, 10, 15, 20, 30. And before you know it, he's opposite. He's opposite. And so then what happens? What happens is the Lord who upholds all things by the word of his power, the word of his power is no longer upholding you because now you are going in an opposite direction. Your health is important. Let me tell you, there's so many different reasons why people die in the world. But I'm telling you, a Christian can die just by going somewhere where the Lord told him don't go. A Christian can just have cancer. I mean, there are many reasons in the world for cancer. Cancer is, you know, the challenges of life come to everyone, Christians included. I want you to get the balance, because the enemy has a way of twisting some of the things that we minister in the word of God and try to say what we're not saying. Affliction, the bread of affliction can come to all of us even while we are in the perfect will of God. The difference is we know while we're eating that bread of affliction, the Lord will deliver us. The Lord will deliver us. But it is different. If you are eating the bread of affliction, walking contrary to the will of God, the Lord will not deliver you. The Lord will not deliver. That affliction can actually kill you. A few minutes, a few days, you may be snapping photos, looking like the happiest person on earth, inviting everybody to come and see how much fun you are having in your life. And the next minute, you could be dead. And your work is not done. It's not that your work is done. Your work is not done. So this is just a very limited number of people, more especially people who really know. Like sometimes preachers, prophets, leaders in the body. It's very easy sometimes. Because we've worked with the Lord for so long, we're instruments in his hands, we preach his word, we prophesy it. It's very easy sometimes out of self-will to just insist that we're going to keep going in a direction that the Lord already told us he doesn't want us going in that direction. Or sometimes we just can't hear because we are so sold out to this thing. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say this for the benefit of, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to say this for the benefit of, I don't know where these words go. But God is not a politician. God does not just blindly endorse everything everybody does just because they come in the name of the Lord. And as prophets, preachers, ministers of the word, we've got to be careful to make sure that when we stand and pause it and take positions representing the Lord, we've got to make sure that we've actually checked that with the Lord first. Yes. That we're not just running in a direction just because that's what seems to make sense. That we're running in the right direction. We're hearing from the Lord. God is not a politician. And he's not a, I've said it before, he's not Democrat, he's not Republican. He's not. Some of you may think he is, but he's not. Something I know for sure. I know for sure God is a Republican because Republicans are against abortion. Okay. And I know I read in the Bible, it says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. That's, so if, you know. Well, does God care about the born as much as he cares about the unborn? Does he care about both? Is there value of life in the born? As much value as there is in the unborn? So, you have to be very careful. We need to get in the Word. Let's get in the Word. It's not just, you know, I understand that there's so many strong feelings everywhere. Listen, but as believers, let's get in the Word. Let's get in the Word. Let's find out, what does the Word say? So, the Lord upholds all things by the word of his power. It is so important. And I'm saying this, you know, to everyone out there and all of us in the studio today. Wherever you are, wherever you live in the world, just get in that word. Esteem the word of God. Let the word of God be your compass. Earlier on, Pastor Tinu was sharing about, you know, she said she tithed as a, even when she was not saved, she tithed, you know, then, you know, because that's the way she was raised and, you know, you'll be amazed just by practicing the word, you can be blessed. Yes. Just by practicing the word. You know, you may not be quote unquote the godly people. You may not be quote unquote the ones who know everything in the Bible. But there's this one principle somebody taught you when you were young, and it's in the word of God, and you kept practicing, and you kept practicing. You may prosper because of that principle. There are billionaires who are prospering today in the world because of the spirit of generosity. And they don't know John 3:16. But they bought into the spirit of generosity. And they prosper. Now, they may not, their spirit and their soul may not prosper. But financially, they prosper. Because that's a principle in the word. Get in the word. Get in the word. So, God upholds everything by the word of his power when we walk in the direction of his word. He upholds everything in our lives. I can guarantee you will be kept. The Lord will preserve your life. He will keep you safe. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you as long as you stay in the center of his word. As long as you keep following the direction of his word. Now, if you veer off, There are no guarantees there. There are no guarantees there. So we owe it to ourselves to stay right there in the Word, right there in the Word. Even when you walk in the Word, your journey will not be perfect. Sometimes, just out of not being sure, not knowing, you will trip. And yet the Lord says, if you trip while you are walking in the light of my Word, you will not be utterly cast down. I will uphold you with my right hand, he said. You will not be utterly cast down. I will still uphold you. Someone say, well, you mean even when I miss it sometimes, he will? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because you are not willfully resisting him. You are doing all you know with the light that you have. There is nothing contrary that I said, no, this is not God. There's nothing contrary that I said, no, this is not the leading of God. You are going and you are finding your way, you are finding your way, so you trip up. But the Lord said he will not let you get cast down. He will uphold you. Just as you are going, that he will uphold you. I hope I'm not out of your frame. He will uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. He says that in Psalm 37. He says that in Psalm 37. In verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered and directed and established, the Amplifier says, by the Lord when he delights in his way. The steps of a good man. Verse 24, even though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. The Lord upholdeth him. See, as you are walking with the Lord, you are walking with the Lord. You are not perfect. Sometimes you could trip up. Sometimes you could think you knew something that you don't know. And you could trip up. The Lord says, he will not let you get cast down. He will uphold you with his hand. He will uphold you with his hand. It's almost 1 o'clock. I'm going to read just one paragraph from here as I close. It's amazing how time flies, right? I don't know if it flies for you guys or if it's just me who's preaching. I don't know. Somehow it's like it's a different clock on Sundays, right? You know what I mean? There are times during the week when I want the clock to move quickly, quickly, quickly. And it's dragging and just going slow. You know, sometimes we come into service and we get in the Word. I mean, I just started preaching 5 minutes ago. Fast 5 minutes. I've only been talking for 5 minutes. Look at where we are now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's almost one, but I'm going to say this. I got to say this. This is the, when I come back, I'm going to start, pick it up from here. I'm going to go to the beginning of this article. But, Brother Higgins says in this, the subtitle here is, who's talking? Who's talking? Learn to distinguish between your soulish thoughts and desires and the Lord's leading in your spirit. To do that, you must become well grounded in the Word, which is the only way to distinguish between soul and spirit. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that. Becoming established in what God said will also help you recognize the voice of Satan and the subtle lies he speaks to your mind to deceive you. You know, Satan is a great deceiver. The Lord challenged me a few weeks ago. Do a word check on the phrase, be not deceived. Deception is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. Do you know there's so many people deceived and yet they think they are right?
Yeah.
There's so many people who feel like they are fighting a righteous cause and God is not in what they're doing. Brother Higgins says, and I gotta say, I gotta give a shout out, and I gave a shout out to that precious mother in Israel who played a role when I was 6 to 8, my first stint of homelessness. in my life personally. Really, that's really the first time I knew what homelessness meant, between 6 and 8. And praise God, that woman and her precious husband, my late uncle, gave me a home for about 2 years. I gave out a shout, a blessing to her. Praise God. I want to speak a blessing out and thank God for this man of God, Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm going to say that majority of what I've learned in my life from my very tender beginning in that boarding school in Federal Government College, Odogbolu, in Ogun State in Nigeria, in that bush, in that campus where we knew nothing, the bulk of what we learned came from Kenneth E. Hagin. One magazine will come into our boarding house, just one, and you see hunger. Hunger. They will read. We read through the night. We won't sleep. We didn't have cell phones. We find some way, like lantern, whatever, those things with something, candles, to read. I remember one of his books that we got, Understanding the Anointing. Oh my gosh. When that book came into our school, it came brand new. By the time that book were done, the book was in tatters. God, thank you, Lord, for Kenneth E. Hagin. And I want to give another shout out to say, I wish I've done everything he said. If I've done everything he said, everything I've learned from him, I'll be further down on my journey today. I would not even be close to where I am right now. But I'm encouraged because there's still time. And as long as there's life, there's hope. I still have time to put it to work. Amen. But, almost every year, I think maybe with the exception of this past year, really, almost every year at the beginning of the year, when I start out the year, go out on an end of year retreat into the new year, amongst the plethora of books that I usually read and study, there's two of them written by Kenneth E. Hagin. Almost every year, two of them that I must read before that year begins. I thank God for the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, becoming established in what God said will also help you recognize the voice of Satan and the subtle lies it tells. Remember that God speaks to your spirit and what he says lines up with his word. Always examine your leading in the light of the Bible. God will never lead you one step beyond the principles in his word. He has a subheading here. I'm almost done. Investigate your motives for what you are considering. He said, ask yourself, why do I want to do this? Is it for a selfish benefit or because someone else is doing it? Is this something my soulish nature wants to do or something God wants me to do? Listen to this paragraph. Sometimes I think that's the one I went and read out to those ministers who are still out there on Sunday. Those of you who heard me, you know, I came excitedly. You know, when I got back in my office, I thought, what are you doing, boy? And I was just too excited. Sometimes it takes a lot of time in God's presence to settle those questions. You can't always do it in one session of prayer. It may take long seasons of waiting. Somebody say, wait. Somebody say, wait. It may take long seasons of waiting before the Lord to get your motives pure and your priorities sorted out according to the word. Then you can distinguish between the clamoring of your soul and the voice of your spirit. You will be able to tell the difference between your desires and what God wants for you. Then from deep inside, direction and guidance will rise up. You will say with confidence, now I know what to do. Now I know what to do. I mean, what is this message titled? Divine Guidance and Direction. I mean, he lifted that thing from my message. He lifted this thing he wrote before I was saved. He preached this message before I was saved, but he lifted it from the message I'm preaching now. Those of you who have understanding, you understand what I just said. You understand what I, because somewhere in the spirit, we crossed. That's right. That's what it is. We cross right there. And that's that God. That's that God thing. You just know that's God. You just know. I mean, I don't care how many, what messages, I don't care. I know for right now. And the Lord called me out of summer vacation to come and preach this. I thought I was just going to retire for the summer. I said, Lord, you know, I've done your will all year. This has been a busy year, Lord, busy. I need time. I need to rest. I need to refresh. I need to get my strength. I need to get clarity. I need to go back over the things that I've been ministered. I want to get clearer, understand. I even use some spiritual terms. Lord, you know, I need to dig deeper. Lord said, I need you to dig deeper, standing behind my pulpit and preaching the word. This is the last one I'm going to read this. This is the last paragraph here. And it has it on it as a subtitle, How the Bible Plays a Role. How the Bible plays a role. Constantly feeding your spirit by meditating on God's word and fellowshipping with the Lord is critical to developing spiritually. As you diligently seek Him for guidance and direction, you will see and understand God's plan for your life. Many Christians miss it by staying in the mental and physical realms, forgetting that the spiritual realm is the ground out of which all else grows. When they become agitated, they run to people for counsel. But if they would only stop, get quiet, fellowship with the Lord, they will hear Him speak. Peace, contentment, and satisfaction will flow from their spirit into their minds and their emotions. Their questions will simmer down and become as nothing. Even their bodies will respond in joy and health. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, always be willing to respond to His leading, even if it doesn't agree with your reasoning, expectation, or desires. Stay teachable and open to anything the Lord tells you. He will show you His ways and direct you into His plans. Let's stop right there. I'm going to come back to it and refer to that over and over again. One last nugget I want to give you as I close. He gives us, how can you get things to quieten. He tells us three things we must do to get things to settle down so that we can hear God. He says, do three things. Number one, and he puts it under a section, be still and know. He says, number one, get still on the inside. Get still. That's a very tough thing for many people. Get still. People just want to keep doing. That's why I told you earlier on, maybe a couple of weeks or so ago, on this message series, living your life on social media is dangerous. Because that thing just keeps you bouncing. Just keeps you bouncing. You know, somebody somewhere says, do this. Another person says, do the opposite. Another one from the other says, do the contrary. The other one, everybody, there's so many things also. Now, there's nothing wrong with social media. The Lord speaks to us through social media. And, of course, socially we can interact. And, I mean, especially in this time, we need to connect with one another. There are benefits to it. Just don't live there. Schedule it and be very picky. Be very picky. You don't have to say something about everything. You don't have to respond to everything. Anyway, I can't teach you about social media. You know more about that than I'll ever know. But he says, get still on the inside. Number two, meditate on God's word. And number three, pray in the spirit. So if you do those three things, light will come. Light will come. It sometimes takes a while though. If you add that to a lot of what we've already shared on this message, in this series, just put that together with a lot of what we've discussed already. The fact that sometimes you need to get rid of pressures. Amen. The fact that sometimes there are indices, there are indicators that tell us if we're in a good place or not. The fact that sometimes, and we'll get into this next week, we'll start looking into those specific ways in which the Lord actually does speak to us, how he actually gives us that guidance and direction. We'll start looking at these three major ways in which he does it. Oh, hallelujah. It's 1:10. Thank you, Lord. Did you get something today?
Yes.
Would you stand to your feet? Let's just thank God as we get ready to close. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're still out there, I'm really endeavoring to just put the light of God on the Word of God to provide as much help as possible. And I'm really thankful that the Lord is not having me out there doing it all by myself. He's sending me a lot of tools to help me. I'm so thankful he sent me this Brother Higgins material last week. I'm so thankful to him for that. But I encourage you, just get in the Word. And I don't know why. I've thought about it, actually, in my natural mind. For a couple of weeks now, I've wondered, Lord, why? But why this area? I thought, I wonder why? Why this area? And I still don't know why. I don't know why this area. Why do we need to be talking about divine guidance and direction right now? I don't have that answer. But I know that I know that I know this is what the Lord wants me to be talking about. It's not the kind of summer message I like to be ministering. I like to be ministering on rest, Sabbath, you know? Like you walk 6 days, you rest one day. And one day can end up being like 3 months. But the Lord says, talk about my light and talk about my direction. The only guess I have is I know the world is in darkness right now, and the only way darkness is overcome is through light. That's the only thing I can guess, but other than that, I don't know. But I do encourage you, as many of you are tuning, just get in the Word, and the Lord will make a difference in your lives.
Amen.
Do you receive it? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord. Oh God, just help me worship him for a minute. I just feel his presence so strong here. Just help me worship him just for a minute here. Just help me worship him. Help me worship him. Just help me worship him. We bless you, O God. We bless your holy name, O God. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.